Christian. And we're going to try to connect Jesus with joy. How many know there's a great connection there? All right, so let's look at one verse of Scripture, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Luke 2 and verse 10. Praise the Lord. And the angel said unto them, who's them? The shepherds, right. All right, we're dropping in the middle of this, okay, for the sake of time. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Behold, let's say this together. I bring you good tidings of great what? Great joy. Praise God. Anybody in here give us a joyful sound? Just take a moment. Praise God. That's what it's about, is the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you're a visitor here tonight, I'm going to break the word to you. We're Pentecostal. And you might think Pentecostals worship gets a little excessive, but if you knew where some of us had been, you may understand a little bit. Praise God. Tonight, if you could use one word to describe Christmas, I was thinking this afternoon, what would it be? Some folks would use a word like headache or busyness or expensive or bothersome. Some folks would use words, you know, just the other day, someone had mentioned that they didn't want to hear anything else about Christmas. It just brought nothing to them but trouble. For many people, Christmas is just another day, just a little more expensive day. How sad, I think, that an event that brought so much joy in heaven can bring so little joy to the earth. Some Christians have not made the connection between Jesus and joy, Brother Anthony. Some Christians have not made that connection. Instead, they're living a contradiction. Hello. Kind of like one of my favorite Christmas photos, Brother Tim, if you'll advance that slide. I've called it the Great Christmas Contradiction. Isn't that adorable? Holding the letters joy, but each one of them, you can tell, that's not a joyful expression. Huh? But I want to announce tonight that this season of the year can be a time of joy, no matter how broke you are. No matter how busy you are, if there's a single word that describes what Christmas is all about, I think it could be summed up in J-O-Y. Several of our favorite carols mention it. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Another one, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Another one, shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Another one, good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. I wonder how many of us feel joyful this evening. Where does the Christmas joy come from, church? Well, the words in Luke chapter 2, and especially 8 through 10, give us the answer. The angel comes, he says, with good news of great what? Joy. What's the good news of great joy? Well, verse 11 has the answer. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior.
Praise God.
All of us needed a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If we're looking for Christmas joy, I suggest that we can find all the joy we need in that single verse. And I'm reminded that joy, how many know joy is like love? It's not merely an emotion. It is not an emotion. It is a decision. And I believe we can be as joyful as we want to be. It's all where we choose to place our focus. And we are to receive joy at this time. As a matter of fact, us as believers, we're to dispense joy at this time of the year. So yet for many today, this time brings no joy and just a lot of stress and busyness, and more debt brings more depression. And so where's the joy? Well, I just began to think about the paradox of our time in history is that, you know, we spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy less. Isn't that true? We have bigger houses and smaller families. We have more convenience, but less time. We have more degrees, but less common sense. Isn't that the way it is in our culture? More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but seems like more problems. More medicine and less wellness. I mean, we've multiplied our possessions, but we've reduced our values. We've learned how to make a living, but we've not learned how to make a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We conquer outer space, but we often miss the inner space. Huh? We've cleaned up a lot of the air, but we've polluted our own souls. We've learned to rush and not, we don't know how to wait. We build more computers to hold more information and produce more copies than ever before, but yet it's hard to communicate with even your spouse. Hello? You better be careful. I better be careful. These are times, I'm talking about the paradox of our times. These are times of fast food, but yet slow digestion. Times of big men, but small character. Huh? Steep profits, but shallow relationships. These are days of, you know, the two-income family, but there's more divorce. I mean, fancier homes, but yet they're broken. These are days of a throwaway morality and days of pills that'll do everything from cheer you up to quiet you down to kill you. Listen, what's happened to America's joy, church? We've forgotten Jesus. And without Jesus, there is no joy. If we bring Jesus back, our joy will come back. Because the two are connected. When we travel back in time to that original Christmas morning and hear the angels where they're saying about joy and about Jesus, they inform those shepherds that they had a message of great joy for them. We're told from our scriptural account that great joy is to be to all people. This great joy is associated with the birth of Christ, and this great joy is tied in with His birth, and we need to see the connection, and I want to plug into it. We need to see the great joy that comes from the good news. And so at Christmas, we need to look around and discover the great joy. And I want joy approaching the upcoming year. How many know we're just about on the threat? We're on the threshold of 2014 already. And when I'm talking about a joy that won't dim or fade with time. You know, when I was growing up, every day as we approached Christmas after Thanksgiving, we'd count down the days. By the time Christmas Eve rolled around, I think I would fall asleep dreaming about BB guns, train sets, horses. Those were three things that I just loved. And when Christmas finally came, everything else was secondary. The gifts were primary, right? But soon the joy and the excitement of the gifts would fade away just almost as quickly as it came. Why? Because I want you to see a passage in the Old Testament. Job 20 verse 5 tells us that the joy of the hypocrite, and really that word hypocrite comes from the Hebrew word that means the godless people. The joy of the world, Job said, lasts but for a moment. This is crucial, church. The joy of the world lasts but for a moment. Job 20 and verse 5. The joy of Christmas, the joy of unwrapping presents, is like a flash. I mean, it's here and then it's gone. But enduring joy remains a complete stranger. Why is joy so elusive? Imagine this evening if we were to discover someone or something that could produce everlasting joy. I mean, imagine if we found a way to wrap it up and to give it to others so that they could have what we have. This is what we're really trying to do at Christmas time. We're trying to create joy, package joy, share joy. But our gifts, how many know it's kind of just a tease? Huh? Even our greatest gifts are mere tease. And I like gifts, don't get me wrong. So as we rejoice, there is a part of us that remains sad. The gifts get returned or they get put in the closet and another year passes. But listen, if we stay connected to Jesus, we will have a joy that will endure. And you're going to need an enduring joy if you're going to face life's tough moments. How many has ever went through a trial in your life? Listen, let me give you a little history lesson here before I close. It's the story of Isaac Watts. How many has heard of Isaac Watts? Isaac Watts, as a young man, lived about 2.5 centuries ago. As an infant, Isaac was nursed by his mother pretty much on the steps of the jailhouse because the Church of England had imprisoned Isaac's father for his refusal, think of this, to conform to the church's worship practices. Think of that. Imagine being thrown into jail for not worshiping a certain way. Like his father, Isaac was deeply dissatisfied with the Church of England's worship. The formal Church of England disdained hymns. They said they were unscriptural and offensive to the doctrines of the church. The congregants were instructed to only sing the Psalms. Now, the song texts that were chosen sometimes were crazy, ludicrous. The tone and mood of the services became dreary. There was no joy. People, history says, sang like out-of-sync zombies. Why? Because not all the Psalms are meant to be sung. Hello. Have you checked out Psalm 88? It's got to be the most discouraging one. It's like, my life is full of trouble. I'm as good as dead. My friends have been driven away from me. I've been sick and close to death from my youth. Darkness is my nearest kin. I mean, that whole psalm has no encouragement in it. Hello. I've had bad days. I've had bad weeks. I've had bad months and even periods of my life. But this guy, the writer, I think his name was He-Man the Ezraite. He was either way too dramatic or he's had an extended streak of bad stuff happen to him. Hello. Like I said, not all the psalms are meant to be sung as worship. So returning from the service one Sunday morning, Isaac complained to his father about the psalm singing that discouraged people from worshiping. Fed up, his father challenged Isaac Watts, a young man, and said, "Well, why don't you write a hymn suitable for us to sing?" And in the course of that one afternoon, Watts did just that. And that evening, he brought it and the congregation sang hymn number 1. And I looked at some interesting facts about Watts. He had learned Latin by the age of 4, Greek by the age of 9, French at 11, Hebrew at 13. Watts would go on to write the majority of his songs between the age of 20 and 22. And guess how many he wrote? 697. The first hymn he wrote was, "Behold the Glories of the Lamb." That's a worship song. And he introduced that to that church that was used to singing some of these wearisome psalms. One of the most notable hymns that he wrote was "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." One of the most popular hymns we sing at every Christmas is "Joy to the World." People complained that his hymns were too worldly. His songs outraged people, split more congregations, got more pastors fired than you can imagine. His music is still splitting congregations. At the age of 24, he preached his first sermon, went on to write some 60 different books on theology, logic, philosophy. And by the age of 50, he was a national figure esteemed by the Anglican Church and dissenters alike. He became larger than life, our history tells us. What was the driving force behind Isaac Watt's life? What compels a person by the age of 21 to write a book or write almost and then 700 hymns? Friends, the joy of the godless lasts but a moment. But here's a man whose joy continued to infect Christians and continues today 250 years later. Somebody say, that's real joy. Here was a man whose joy in the Lord was so real and so compelling that he just tried to bottle it up. It was bottled up in him and he just had to let it out by writing 697 hymns. When is the last time, listen church, let me ask you a question. When's the last time the Lord so flooded your heart that you wanted to start bottling up that feeling? Hello? And wanting your unsaved loved ones to feel that joy. And start trying to give it out for Christmas. Psalm 98 captures the joy of Isaac Watts. Actually, Psalm 98 became the mission statement of his life. And it's this verse, sing unto the Lord. What kind of song? A new song. Somebody say a new song. A new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? Because sometimes the old songs just won't do. Hello? And those gifts under the tree just cannot satisfy our souls. The only gift that can satisfy, church, our soul is the gift that the Heavenly Father hung on a tree on Calvary. And while the world mopes around lifelessly chasing one fleeting promise of joy after another, listen, folks, we can have true blue joy. And we have the Son of God born of a virgin. I'm getting a little excited. We have the Son of God, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, crucified on the cross for our sin, risen from the dead on the third day, reigning as King at the right hand of our Father for all eternity. He's preparing for us a home and promising to return to come and get us. Church, if that doesn't put joy in your heart, then nothing can. Somebody say, I've got the joy of the Lord. Praise God. It's time we started singing like we have the joy of the Lord, the song that was penned by Isaac Watts. Why? Because he was boiling over on the inside with the joy of the Lord. It's that song, Joy to the World. It's a song, you look at it, it's full of exclamation points. It's a song pointing to the world, to the world, a true joy. It's a song that, listen, that Isaac Watts wanted to share with everybody. Joy to the world. Praise God. Oh, I've got to hurry. We got to close, don't we? What time is it? Okay. I want you to notice something as we stand together. God has a gift this Christmas. How many want to unwrap some joy? Oh, Pastor, you don't know. I mean, come on. Have you not read the news or seen anything in the media? There's nothing. You're right. There's nothing to be joyful about. No. No. And I'm not just pulling the old ostrich philosophy to bury our heads in the sand and act like everything's just fine. No. Because I told you at the beginning, it's where you focus. That's the key to your joy. And I choose to focus on Christ. And there's nothing going wrong with Christ. Hello? Everything's great of Christ. Don't wait. Listen, church. Don't you wait until tomorrow, the December 25th, to unwrap the gift of joy. I want us to enjoy a little joy right here. Jesus is the reason why we have this joyous season. And we incorporate Him in our lives. And He brings joy. How many know Santa's joy only lasts for a moment? We had Santa, those that were out there last night at the nativity, Santa rode by on his Harley. Yeah, he did. But Santa's joy only lasts a moment. Let me show you about 10 ways Christ is better and much different than Santa. Number one, Christ's arrival was eagerly anticipated, but not just by children. Another, Christ came on Christmas Day, but he didn't come down a chimney. Christ worked in a wood shop, not just making toys for those on his nice list. Christ had some helpers. They weren't elves. Christ did a miracle, not just on 34th Street. Hello? Christ rode into town, but not on a sleigh. Christ carried a lot of weight. Think of this, like the sins of the world. He carried a lot of weight, but yet he wasn't a heavy man. Christ hung on a tree, but not like the Santa ornaments that we envision. Christ disappeared into the clouds, and he went beyond the North Pole, my friend. Hello? Christ's return is eagerly anticipated, but it is unpredictable. We just got to be ready, and I'm ready tonight. Praise God. And folks, that's worth celebrating. If you're ready for Christ to come, it's worth celebrating. Why don't you give him just some praise a few minutes here tonight as the ushers come. Just give him some praise. Oh, the joy of the Lord. The joy that's come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you sing it? Joy to the world. I would like our ushers to join me as we sing this chorus. Let every heart prepare him room. In heaven and nature sing. In heaven and nature sing. In heaven. We're going to need two more. Oh, joy to the world. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, give him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know the joy here tonight, you don't understand the celebration, I want you to know that you can experience that before you leave this service. It's called salvation. It's called what Paul called in the book of Romans, justification, redemption. If you cry out to the Lord Jesus and make him your first priority, praise God. I want the ushers to come. One will take the cracker, one actually... However you guys want to do it, just get ready to serve us and serve us quickly so that we can partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Here at Broadway, I see a connection between the blood and the birth of Jesus. You see, church, had there been no birth, there would be no communion. Because tonight we're celebrating the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes were healed. If you would like to partake of communion with us, and I invite you to, if you're a born-again believer, slip to the aisle. Let them serve you. Move close as you can to the front up here around this altar space and hold the emblems until instructed further. Amen. As we partake together, praise God. Let's sing it one more time as you are served. Oh, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature. You know, not long after Christmas comes Easter. We're reminded that Christ was born to what? Born to die. Lying there in the cradle within the stable is the first gift of Christmas. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes. We know from the timetable of Scripture over the next 33 years, a lot would happen. Leading from the stable to the table upon which this Last Supper was served right before His crucifixion. So when we come to observe this ordinance, it should be a time of remembrance. What are we remembering, Pastor? We are remembering the difference that Christ makes. Past, present, and what? Future. We don't need some ghost to escort us. We have God's Word and the Holy Ghost so that we can remember, and as we think of the three tenses of Christmas, past, present, and future, we can be sure to remember that our past is forgiven. Anybody in here got a past? Has anybody in here got a forgiven past? Oh, there's a couple of us. The rest of us are pretty righteous, right? Hello? Anybody in here got a past? Thank God it's forgiven. Our present is a gift of life. Cannot be purchased. Rather, it's already been purchased by Jesus, by His redemption. And our future is unwritten except for the end. We know, in a sense, we've read the back of the book. How many know Jesus wins in the end? Oh, praise God. As we approach the Lord's table, let us do so to give thanks. Thanks for the stable. That's where it all started, right, church? It all started there. A sinless life, the body, the blood, was sacrificed for us. He who was born to die didn't stop at the stable. He died that we might live. What's that song say? Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Praise God. As I mentioned, we practiced open communion here. You don't have to be an official member to participate. You do need to be a member of the family of God. In other words, you need to know Christ. So as we sing this chorus one more time, as I serve these leaders, Bible says, let every man examine himself so that we do not partake of the body and the blood of Christ unworthily, Paul said. And that means salvation is an important matter. Everything needs to be right between you and the Lord. Because when you take of this, you're saying, Lord, I'm still on my way. I'm still on my way to heaven. How many's on your way to heaven tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Joy to the world. Sing, heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hopefully all has been served. If not, and you were missed, please let us know. We will serve you quickly before we move on, okay? In breaking the bread, Paul wrote the church at Corinth. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We always like to take a moment and pray together and ask the Lord to bless this bread which represents the body of Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Roger Prohoda if he would just give thanks for the bread we're about to partake of.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's partake of the bread together. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. The greatest sacrifice ever given. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Praise God. Brother Tim Fordyce, would you pray and thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, I just feel His presence. He is here. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Let's partake together, church. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our past is forgiven.
Thank you.
Our present has been redeemed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give Him praise. Give Him God-sized praise, church. There's power in the praises of His people. I will glorify You, Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just take a moment, church, right where you're at. Let's adore the Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord, for He alone. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For He alone is worthy. Yes, He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. So, oh, come, let us. Hallelujah. Give Him a joyful praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what it's about. Thank you, Lord, for the difference You've made in our lives. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, the connection of joy that He brings our hearts. Our past have been forgiven, God. Our future, Lord, is secure in Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, church. He's inhabiting the praises tonight. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. For He alone is... Sing it. Oh, you're sounding good. For He alone is worthy, for He. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Greet one another. If you spend time in the altars, these altars are always open. If you'd like to pray, we'll pray with you. Praise God. Otherwise, greet one another. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. It's Christmas time. Amen. Let the joy of the Lord be in every function, at every event. Amen, that you participate in. And I know you'll not be sorry for that. Amen. Greet one another. Brother, hug a brother's neck. Sisters, hug a sister. Let them know you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget, pick up some fruit in the back. Swing by the nativity as you leave. We'll be back in the house of God this Sunday right here to worship God. Amen. Amen. Amen.